Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to the family with
Alex Brant-Bernard Rasmussen,
Amelia Santinello,
Andy Brant-Bernard,
co-host Catherine Brandt,
and me.
And you.
But the first thing we have to do is, there is no Easter this year. It's Catherine's birthday, so there is no Easter.
I preempted Jesus coming out of the tomb. Yeah. I don't think so.
My day.
It's my day, 100%. So Alex's children sent Catherine.
It was actually our whole family. Thank you very much.
Oh, was the whole family? No, I'm just giving credit
Nana.
To the children.
It said Nana.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Oh, but it was signed Alex, Dan, Fawn, and Sage.
Nope, said Nana. That's all I know.
Okay.
Okay, you ready to? Because you haven't seen it yet, Alex.
Okay, I got to preface this. So,
okay.
2 years ago, I think it was, I ordered her flowers for her birthday. And when you order flowers online, you're never really sure.
Yeah, you're not. Unless you know the florist.
What you're going to, unless you know the florist. And I'm like, I don't know any florists in Florida. Like, I order flowers in Minnesota from the same place every time because they do a great job. And she sends me a picture of the flowers. She's like, thank you for the flowers. They're beautiful. They were the most pathetic flowers.
Oh, was it like a little cup?
Ever. It was like four sad, like clearly dyed flowers. It was awful. And I was like, I paid like $100.
Yes.
It was pathetic. And so last year I was just like searching the internet.
You were vetting florists.
I was like, who does good flower arrangements and isn't just going to like steal my money in West Palm Beach, Florida, and I found this place, and I ordered from them last year, and I was like, send me a picture when you get them.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to confirm that they're good, and they were great, and then this year, apparently, again.
Just fantastic?
Yeah,
I guess.
Camille's.
I don't know.
I know it's Camille's because I was in the elevator carrying them up, and this woman was like, is that a cake? I'm like, no, they're flowers. But there's birthday candles. That's
gorgeous. We have to see this.
Yeah. Who'd you get it from? So, yeah, it's already got
Camille's Flower and Gifts. If anyone ever needs to order flowers for somebody in West Palm Beach, Florida, or Palm Beach.
Yeah, I could use a weekly bouquet.
So there you go. Now we know.
Now she's getting stingy.
And it's not like, it's very normal priced. It's not, you know.
Oh, that's great, though, that you found somebody.
So, yeah, and I ordered them for her today because we're leaving to Disney World the day after her birthday. And I was like, I want you to be able to enjoy them for a little bit rather than looked at them for a day and then they died while we were gone.
Okay, so Dad's going to hold
ready?
Them up.
Okay,
okay.
Hold
them up. The presentation.
All right, so I got to hold them like right here for the right
there. Right in front of the camera.
So right in front of the camera.
Right where you can see that it's showing.
Why don't you calm down, all of you?
Alex, didn't you know after grandkids, you don't mean anything?
You ready?
Accurate. I'm ready.
Okay, here it comes. I'm going to do it like a Catholic priest with the
with a Bible? Oh, with the chalice.
Or the Bible.
Hold it above your head.
Ooh, you can see the flowers.
Oh, those are gorgeous.
Look at that.
I love that. Did you tell them, Alex, that's what you wanted?
That's what I ordered online.
Oh, you saw that.
It wasn't like a custom thing. It was, I went under seasonal flowers.
I love
I was like,
it.
Oh, just spring and Easter and whatever. But then I went under birthday.
Nana's got it.
And I saw that and I was like, my kids lose their minds.
Oh my gosh.
About
absolutely.
A cake flower thing. And it's fun, you know?
And
you
Catherine,
know?
Were you disappointed it wasn't a real birthday cake?
Yeah. Well, you know, the trend is for people to make cakes that look like real things.
Yeah.
And now they're making flowers that look like cakes. So
that looks
sense.
So pretty.
Yeah, Melissa and I watched Is It Cake?
We watched that.
Oh.
The kids and I watched
cake,
that on. Sunday night.
Well, your kids love Is It Cake.
Is It Cake is so fun. And we got all but one right. And we found out, and we got who was going to win and who was going to be kicked off right.
Is that a show?
It's a show.
It's a show where they make things out of cake, but the idea is to fool everyone else into thinking. So it's like, you know, I'll give you a Starbucks cup, and I'll say, make a cake that looks exactly like this, and then I'll put the cup and your cake side by side. And the other contestants have to guess.
The judges have to guess which one is cake.
Fun.
Which one's your cake.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And a lot of the time they don't get it right because
Oh, I bet they're super creative if you're trying to figure out if it's cake or not.
Yeah, the kids and I, we watched one on Sunday night because Dan went to the Timberwolves game and I was like, let's just watch it. Is it cake? And then we'll get ready for bed and it'll be great. There was one woman that made a crab.
Out
of cake.
And it looked real.
That was the one that we got wrong.
Yeah, they'll put
the
shine on the shell and everything.
It was unbelievable. Wow. As soon as he cut into it, I was like, no, I don't understand.
And you're up till 1 in the morning watching episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm just sitting there. Which one's cake?
Now, for people who just tuned in, you have to understand, Amelia's not really comfortable being on camera.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Every day of her life.
Yeah.
Every day of her life.
Never done it.
When did you start doing television news?
When did I start? Oh, my gosh. My first actual on-air was in 1991.
So you were 5 years old.
I was five. Yes, Tom. I was five.
That's impressive.
Child newscaster. For
like Catherine, who is like going to be 20 on Sunday. But, and I actually started in Washington, D.C. I was what you call a reporter trainee at WSA, which was a Gannett station then.
Yeah.
So I would basically do everything a reporter did, write the story, come back, you know, have the time constraints, do the interviews, and then write the story. But I wouldn't do a stand-up. You wouldn't see me on camera, and a reporter or an anchor would track it. So I really was trained by really the photographers, you know, photojournalists. So I learned a lot there. And Angela Davis, who is at NPR now, who was at Channel 5, I trained her in. So we've known each other.
Did?
Yeah.
Well, that's excellent. We started this thing a few weeks ago. I was kind of watching. The reason being, of course, I was raised by my mother, so I tend to get along with women better than I do with men. And I do understand. It's not that I don't get along with men, but I get along with women much better because I was raised by my two sisters and my mother. So I was thinking about it. I was watching the news because you can get any, as long as you've got streaming, you can get any news channel in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I watch all the news from the Minneapolis-St. Paul market, wherever I go. And I really like that. And I was just thinking, watching it one night, news really has changed quite a bit. And we got kind of lucky because Pat Miles was one of our first guests.
Yeah,
and she pointed
great.
Out the fact. She is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Moore, I loved Dave Moore as well.
He was great.
Great guy.
Yeah.
But he didn't like it. He said, I like doing the news by myself. I don't want a man or a woman. I want to do it by myself. It was a great way to start.
Let me tell you something. Don Shelby also would like to do the news by himself.
Oh,
Don Shelby would like to do everything by himself.
And he would freely admit that. I love Don. He's a very dear friend of mine. But I remember when we were anchoring, we were talking. I like having a co-anchor. Because I think it's so hard, like the transitions of stories, somebody that you can kind of interact with and all that. Don was like, no, I would do solo. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you would do solo.
Yeah. Don, I love Don. He's one of my best friends.
He's great.
Very caring, lovely man. There's no question about that.
Definitely.
No doubt. So basically, the observation that I made, you know, a month ago, It does hold true that because I didn't know that Don Shelby or Dave Moore didn't want to work with any man or woman. It had nothing to do with it being a woman. The fact they didn't want a co-anchor.
Well, yeah, for the longest time, right? With networks, that's all it was, one white man. Soloing.
I had to throw that in. The one white man.
I'm only kidding.
I understand.
But it was kind of like that, though, right? The male anchor.
Yep.
Was it Walter Cronkite, Peter
Jennings. Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of like were dad figures.
Yes, that is true.
You know, they really were.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think now, because you do have two different perspectives, one from a man, usually one from a woman, I think the news has gotten a lot better because you're getting complete coverage of it. And not to say they didn't do a great job when they were by themselves. That's not what I mean. Because Minneapolis-St. Paul, people don't know this who don't leave the area much, but the two best news markets in America are Chicago and Minneapolis-St. Paul.
You are so right about that, Tom. Yeah, I'm talking about best. When I worked in another market and we would have consultants, and they would hold Minneapolis-St. Paul up as an example of one of the best markets in the country. And I think that we're really fortunate here because I think all the stations do a really good job, you know, of presenting the news.
There's no, well, there's one in the market I'm not wild about. They're not big fans of mine, so they can kiss my
There you go.
But anyway, moving forward. But I had friends that worked there, too, back in the day. They're no longer there. But I just, I was watching the news one night, and I thought, you know, it is a lot different than it used to be. It's a lot better than it used to be. It gets total coverage because it gets coverage from two anchors instead of one. Just the fact that there are two anchors, and then one's a man, one's a woman, makes it even better, I think.
No, I think you're right. I think there's that different perspective, right? I think women approach news maybe in a different way, or they see a story, they maybe think of another angle or something that the male wouldn't think of, you know, and vice versa.
Yeah.
The man coming exactly, you know, different thing. Yeah.
I don't understand how you work with your husband every day.
Look at you. How's it
Frank
going over there?
Frank one time said, Melia won't even ride into work with me.
I don't. Listen, I need some time by myself, you know, just to drown out the noise or talk to girlfriends on my way to work, you know?
Right.
It was very cute when we first started. He's like, okay, let's go. I'm like, let's go where? He's like, let's go. He thought we were going to drive into work together. And I was like, no, I can't do it.
We'll
I
hold
can't
hands
do it.
And gab.
24/7.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah, yeah. But it is great. It's great working with them. You know, you can be, you have that relationship with each other, right? Where you can be totally honest with each other and it's out of love, right? No, you're not going to get offended. It's coming from a good place. And he can tell me things or say things to me that might, like Don Shelby and I were really close, but there are things that I'm sure he wanted to say to me that he didn't say to me, right?
You think?
I think. But, and I probably didn't, although I did call him in one time to talk to him, have a little.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
And he'll tell you the story, too. It was when we first started anchoring together. And I felt he thought I was, I don't know if I didn't have the gravitas or too young, which was, he was probably right. But I felt like he was kind of off with me. So I said, can we go to coffee? We went for coffee. And I said, I don't think you like me anchoring with you.
Ooh.
And I'm like, and this has to work out. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Turns out you were right, though.
But, you know, so yeah. But I'm just saying the husband and wife, that dynamic, that relationship, I think there's a lot of honesty that you can bring to the table. And there's trust, too. More importantly, I think that there's that level of trust.
No, I think that's absolutely right. Now, I have to ask you a question, and I have not asked anybody else this. Even, you know, I've known a lot, some of the anchors for many, many years. I've never understood, other than John Hines, radio people. I mean, Meat Sauce and I are really good friends. We don't hang out much, but he's a good friend. But the friends I have in media in the market are all TV people, other than like two people. I wonder why that happened. Because you don't have to work with me?
Yes.
I don't know.
I mean,
or maybe the radio people were competitive with you or felt competitive. You know what I mean? Maybe there was that they couldn't get over that part of it.
I mean, it's not that I didn't like any of them. Mm-hmm. We used to hang out with Chuck Knapp and his wife, but that was when I was in the record business. I was not on the radio then.
Yeah, that's strange.
It's weird. I literally, there are a couple of people that I know and hang out with.
In a lot of those relationships, there was a weird turn in, like, personal stuff.
You're talking about radio? The radio people, friends he was like friends with?
I'm not going to get into your personal.
Let's talk about everybody's
there were
personal
things.
Is it them or me that got worse?
Both, maybe.
Both.
A little bit of both.
But it's really weird. Other than one station in the market, I get along with all the news anchors, always have. And I don't know, I suppose I always will. But then you get, what is that?
I have no idea.
Your time's up. No.
Yeah.
Catherine,
it's
the police.
I've never heard that ding dong.
I haven't either. I don't know
it sounds like a text or something.
Or
an alert of some sort.
Alert.
Like.
I have no alerts.
It was a text message.
Let me check for an alert.
I got nothing.
I got nothing. There's nothing. It didn't happen on my phone either.
Very
I don't
strange.
Know. I think it's Jude, the dog's phone.
There you go.
Is that or the printer's going to self-destruct? I don't know.
No, that was definitely an iPhone.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounded like it's like one of those.
But who knows?
Well, Tom, that's probably what it was. A lot of, you know, maybe felt some sort of competitiveness there of some sort.
I guess. But, I mean, it's not that I don't have any friends in radio.
No,
I do.
No.
There are a number of people. But as far as, like, you and Frank are good friends of ours. We go to dinner.
Yes.
We, you know, we just went to the nanny wedding and sat together there.
Yes. Nanny wedding.
Little nannies, or actually,
I still can't get over that Vinny is like old enough to be married.
I know, it's so crazy.
Like, I don't know why, but he kind of stayed like a permanent,
like
kid
a little kid.
Yeah,
it's like, even though he's playing on the wild. No,
I know, but for some reason,
he's just one of those people that you're like, no, no, no.
Well, every time I see him, I think he's got to be in his 30s. He's got to be 30 by now. No, I'm in my 20s. I'm like, why do you stay so young?
Well, it's like when I walked in and I saw Andy. I haven't seen him in so long. And I'm like, hi. I'm like, hold on. I went to go introduce myself. I was like, wait, hold on a minute.
Yeah, things have changed a lot there.
I know. Yes. And then he's his second child on the way. So congratulations to that. Yeah, that's wonderful.
It is indeed. Now, I got to ask, this is great. I'm glad you brought that up, because I can ask Andy and Alex together. Is it weird that you know all these news anchors, and is it just normal because you've known them all your life?
What is the answer to this question that we always tell you, Dad?
Well, no, we're doing this show for the listeners, for me.
Well,
it's for the listeners.
You've asked it on air many times.
Well, but not somebody, with a million studio.
Dave, call in. Tell us what we always say when we are asked this question. It's like, we don't know any different, so it can't be weird.
If you grow up with it. I mean, there are people out there who grew up as the sons of kings and pharaohs, and they were like, this is just how life is, you know.
And it's a similar situation for us.
If you grow up with it, no matter how crazy the lifestyle, you know, that's just how it is for you.
I would like to thank my children for comparing me to a king or
a pharaoh. Yeah,
there you go. I really appreciate that one, right?
Not quite what I was getting at, but...
Great.
Not quite what you meant by that, but...
Oh, no.
No, I just find that kind of cool because it... I mean, I obviously never went through that as a kid and all the rest of it, so you kind of wonder all that time. But you guys all handled it very, very well, and I do like the fact that we talk very... while we opened the show with Amelia being very honest about it, that Don didn't really care for it, that Dave Moore didn't really care for it either. And it wasn't because you were women. It's because I want to do the show by myself.
Yeah, and I think it was that way for a very long time, right? And I think Barbara Walters cracked that door open.
Right.
And she faced a lot. She's in her autobiography, she talked a lot about how she met resistance all the way and had to fight it. Like her, I forget who her co-anchor was at the time, but he had to have so many more stories than her, which is crazy. But, you know, it was that sort of thing.
Yeah, it makes sense.
The chair has to be taller.
Yeah, all that, right?
All that.
Frank wants that all the time. No.
Was Jane Pauley or was it the Diane Sawyer before Jane Pauley? Which one was before?
I don't remember. It's a long time ago.
What do you mean, on the morning show?
Yeah.
I think there was Jane Pauley, then it went Deborah Norville, and then Katie Couric.
Okay,
and Diane Sawyer.
Diane Sawyer was on.
She was on the morning.
Was sort of like she was sort of a pioneer-y.
She was.
Pioneer-y.
She was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Katie Couric, which I really liked when I started watching her, is that she also brought a lot. You can be yourself and have humor, you know, and not be so. I think for the longest time, women felt like you had to be ultra serious to be taken seriously, right?
Yes.
Because you're fighting that all the time, right, across the country. I think there are some men who still maybe think that they can't really get serious news from a female.
Really?
I think there might be in little pockets, maybe.
Yeah,
look
maybe
how long it took as far as having a female on the evening news to anchor it. So there was Katie Couric and then Diane Sawyer. And that was, what, 10 years ago? How long ago was that? Now, Nora O'Donnell is on CBS, and she's been on there for a while. But the two other stations are still men, you know. So I think you're just still fighting through that. But it's getting much better.
I just like the conversations. It's really nice that, obviously, you two are married, so that even adds another element to it. But I love the conversations about the different takes on stories that you do. I see it. That, to me, makes the news very enjoyable.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, I think it's good to hear different perspectives, right? I'm just glad Frank and I haven't had an all-out fight on the air. That's good. A disagreement on the air would be good. I will
Your
say,
last day, you should do it.
I'm just going to drop it.
Let him have it.
I've been holding this
I've been holding back
all these years.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I will say this. It's interesting, though, about women. You report the news, you anchor the news and all that, and we're still dealing with not so much hi, this is what we reported. It's still like a cosmetic situation. You know, I mean, that's what a lot of people focus on. Oh, what are you doing to your hair? What is that outfit? What is this? Instead right. of, did you just hear what I said or reported? That part of it. I think it's getting a little bit better, you know?
Yeah. Well, people don't like change. So I'm sure that you feel like you always have to, it's like, I just have to look the same. Because if anybody mentions anything.
Yeah.
There was that show, Murphy
Brown. Oh, Murphy Brown, yeah.
And I don't know why, but this one episode stayed with me where she was complaining about all these listeners complaining about her hair.
Yeah.
And she read some note that she had. She's like, I can't stand it when you change your hairstyle. I spend many, many hours trying to copy your hairstyle. And then when you change it.
Yeah. I've got to go do that now.
And she's like, I'm trying to read the news here.
Yeah, I know. Right? And I get that you should look, you know, neat, but it's funny. It is funny. I'm just kind of like, as I get older and all, you just kind of go, they feel comfortable. People feel comfortable enough, like you're a member of their family, to say that to you, right? My mom would say it. Yep. She'd be like, what were you wearing? You know? So, but it's just funny because I just don't think men as much, although Frank gets a lot about his hair.
I've mentioned that before.
Don Shelby gets it too.
Is that a toupee?
Yeah.
Don Shelby gets it.
Your hair's too dark. Your hair's too light. Why is your hair so dark?
Yeah.
Is
that real hair?
It's just a thought.
I know. But, so funny, though. I mean, because when I watch the news, it's just you're listening to what they have to say, right?
Mm-hmm. Although I will say, there has been I feel like such a hypocrite. I've watched things and I'm like, I'm a little distracted by that blouse, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, or like.
Catherine's blouse, like right? Look at
I've got
that blouse.
Pink flamingos.
I like flamingos. Your blouse. Yeah, how appropriate.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Amelia, where'd you grow up?
Pennsylvania. My father was in the Air Force, so he was from Scranton. Oh, okay. So that's where he retired. But so we were all over the place. But that's where I went my sophomore year in high school. Although I will say Minnesota, this is home because it's the longest I've been in one place, you know. It'll be 28 years. So
28 years.
Yeah, this year will be 28 years. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
It is, and you're only one when you got here.
That's right. Yep.
That's right. <God. laughs> So Scranton, Pennsylvania, they do a very good TV show in that town. What's supposed to be in that town?
I was going to say, were you super stoked when The Office took place in Scranton?
Oh, my gosh. And yeah. I was like, oh, Scranton. Oh, boy.
Scranton.
Yeah. I worked at the ABC affiliate. It was a dominant WNEP. Yeah, they had their own chopper that landed right there. They had the helipad out there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Hartford. And then I came here. Yeah. Hartford, you know what? That town, there was really nothing going on there. The Whalers had just left. I mean, there was nothing much there. The only good thing about Hartford was, like, it was a couple hours to Boston, a couple hours to New York. You know, you were sort of centrally located, I felt like.
But when I used to work for Royal Business Machines, that was the home office, was Hartford.
Oh, was it? So were you there? Did you ever go visit there? Oh, well, then you know Catherine.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty.
It is pretty. It is pretty. Yeah. And Mark Twain's house right down there. Mark Twain seems to be following me because I worked in Elmira and his and his wife, Olivia Langdon, they're buried there. I was like, what's going on with this Mark Twain thing? But yeah, no, Hartford's really pretty, but the city of is, there's, I mean, it's maybe it's flourished now. I don't know. But then there was really nothing going on.
Well, it was a little too, it was a little too far away from everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Wow.
Close enough with the train, but
yeah, I was gonna say with the train you can just jump on there, you know.
Yeah, but
I suppose that is probably true. When you do, because the reason I'm asking this because I've never done show prep in my life, I just don't even know how to do that. Do you have to do a lot of show prep to do television, or do you just you want a natural reaction to what you're reading?
I think I like, you should really obviously keep up on the news, right? So I kind of my husband's a big newspaper. He'll read the newspaper, physically read. I go through and I scroll through and I'll read, see what's going on in the world and all that, and what's going on in our community. But yeah, you go in and we have producers. So they're already starting at 9 a.m. and starting to produce the show. So we go in and kind of go through it and we don't build in what we're going to say to each other. I want that. We both want sort of that to be a natural, authentic reaction if there is anything we want to say or react to. So when you say show prep, we do look at the stories that we're covering, what we're reading, and change things maybe to the way that we speak or, you know, make adjustments and all that. Maybe suggest things here and there. But we have pretty good producers and executive producers and they're pretty much on top of it.
So that's good. I mean, it's teleprompters were a great thing. I'm sure you didn't have to look down at a piece of paper. But that was before your time anyway, I'm sure. How long have teleprompters been around on the TV?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I think
I don't know. You know what? My first job when I was in Elmira, New York, on air, we had the paper prompt. Oh, sorry, we had the teleprompters, but you had to put the paper in there. And I had to, I would do cut-ins, so I was by myself. So I would have to tape the paper, and then I would have to move the prompter with my, like, remotely.
Oh, man.
Okay? So I had to do it. So if it ever jammed, I was screwed. You know
what
I mean?
That's why I asked, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen before that people do get jammed and they don't know what to do. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so you should always.
Not so much anymore.
Well, Frank still will bring his paper scripts to the desk because we use iPads now and all that. But he's right, though, because anything can go wrong. And then it'll be like, you know, if that goes down and you don't have script.
Yeah.
You can't remember all the stories and all, you know, all of a sudden it becomes broadcast news and the producer's talking in your ear. But yeah. And I also did the weather, too, when I was in Elmira, which was fun.
Oh, you did? You did both?
I did that. I had a time. I produced my show. I didn't have to run the prompter on the weekends. I was doing weekends then. I produced my show. I had to do the weather. Didn't know anything about it. Got everything off the AP. And then I had to let our sports guy know. And I had to time him out when he was doing sports. So I'd have to kind of like tap him to let him know, we got to wrap these things up, you know. It was crazy. Yeah. Best experience, though. It was such a great experience. Because, you know, you learn a lot about what a producer goes through, what you know, the timing and what you have to do. It's so, and I would have to edit sometimes.
Jeez.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, and one of the reasons I asked you that is God, what it would be 30, 35 years ago now. After the first couple of years being doing the show from the KQRS studios, after a couple of years, they said, you know, you should probably do this from your house. And it was the reason for that being because they would hand me these stories and go, and I'd go, I'm not doing that story. It's ridiculous. I don't care for that.
I love that you have that power. No.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing it. So basically it was, let's get him out of the building so he doesn't influence anyone else. That's exactly what it was.
A revolt.
So I would literally, in the last, because I was on that show for 37 years, and for the last, I would say 30, 32, 33 years, I maybe was in studio for about a total of maybe 25 times.
Wow.
Yeah, I just never went in.
And that was fine with you.
Oh, it was fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hanging around radio people? No, thank you.
I love going in.
I bet you do. Like, to be on television, you have to be in, obviously. Oh, I suppose you don't. Yeah, now you can.
No,
do it
you know what? Well, although I will say I did enjoy during the pandemic, we did a couple from the house, you know, from our house broadcast.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yep.
That was kind of nice to have that option, right?
Yes.
Do you want to work from home? Like yesterday would have been a perfect day. Yeah. Like, I don't feel like getting into a car and driving. Can we do the news from home? I mean, obviously. So during the pandemic, we came in all the time. That was strange because it was really limited. It was, once again, seeing my husband across from me. I'm like, I could do this at home. But now,
right,
you know,
right.
It's nice to have that creative interaction with your producers, your editors, everybody who's working there. That part of it, I do enjoy the people.
Sure.
Yeah, I could. Well, doing television, that would be a totally different situation.
Yeah. No, you're right. I do like that option of doing it at home, but that's never going to happen with us.
It might. You never know.
Well, even Zoom or StreamYard, which was what we use, it makes such a difference to be able to see the person.
Yeah, talking. It does.
To me,
yeah.
Sometimes when I'm just listening, I kind of just get like, la, la, la.
Oh, you start drifting off a little bit?
Yeah, it's just easier to see who might have something to say, mm-hmm. who's interested. Oh, everybody looks like they're getting bored. Time to change the subject.
Yeah, you read some physical cues. Yeah, true.
Yeah, the physical cues are huge because when you guys would go to Florida and we didn't have the video, it was like people were always talking over each other and mm-hmm. it was like, are we done talking? It's much easier to see people. Right. To know how to converse.
True.
Yeah,
true.
Especially with conversing. Many different people. It's not like just one person talking on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a whole different situation. No question about that. So you got to CCO what year again? You said
96 I got there.
96 you got there.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend.
Who was the general manager at that point?
John Culleton was a general manager at that point.
Culleton, okay.
Yeah, Cully was the general manager. Ted Canova hired me.
Okay.
And Cindy Hilger was there, and Colleen Needles, and it was, and I feel
Colleen
really bad.
Needles,
yeah. So Amy Marcellus, I don't know if you remember, she was on the weekends then. Yep. So I got hired to come in to either do the weekends or to do the noon. They were going to pair somebody up with Bill Carlson, and you know how long Cindy Hilger was there. You know how long Colleen was there, right? So that's why Amy Marcellus. She had been there for 10 years or so. And Amy she tells this story too. But Amy was like, they're not ever going to leave. I'm not ever going to be able to move into a weekday position. So she got a job in Nashville. And we got there in May. So all of a sudden, Cindy and I think Cully, John, they were going to move to LA. I think he got a job in LA at KCBS. So I got promoted to the 5 o'clock. And then 5 months after that, Colleen left. And then so they made the decision to promote me to the 5, 6, and 10. And Amy's like, I waited how long?
Yes.
Swore these people were never going to leave. And with them, the year I was there, like two of the longtime anchors left.
God, that's amazing. Because, you know, obviously Mark Rosen was on the show when it started in 1987.
Wow.
And he'd only lasted about 1 year because CCO Radio decided they didn't want him on that show.
Oh, wow.
Because the ratings went through the roof immediately. We got very, very lucky there.
Yeah, he loved doing that with you. He talks about that, a lot.
Oh, Mark, I love Mark. He's a wonderful guy.
He is.
I mean, the problem I have with Frank and Mark is they're both too tall. But other than that.
They are tall, aren't they?
It's what, 6'5" and 6'6"? That's pretty tall, yeah. Those are pretty tall people. But yeah, that back then, and the only reason I bring it up, the divide between television and radio was huge. They didn't want radio people on TV.
Isn't that crazy?
They didn't want television people on the radio. But yeah, what was that?
I don't know, because it's a great cross promotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. I mean, it's I don't understand that. I don't.
Well, like you were talking about before, though, there was more of a buttoned up image of
TV. True. You know what? You're right. That it could be that too, because I think radio, it's a lot more freeing. I know Rosie always says that, right? You can pretty much say whatever, and well, not whatever, mm-hmm. but there is a lot more freedom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I was I think it's a great opportunity to show your personality, talk, and find out a little bit more about the person, right? People get to know you more.
I think that's exactly the reason that it works so well, because when those people started popping on the radio back in, you know, the mid-80s or whatever it was, people realized they were human beings.
Yes.
They were not just mannequins sitting there reading the teleprompter, that these were real people, good people, and I think it was wonderful for television.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. And I think that's why people feel that way, like about you and this, the family podcast and all. People get to really, you guys are just very real, you know, and talk about.
I love that.
Right? And so people are invested in that, and they feel like they really know you, because you talk about what's happening in your life and they see how you are. So I think people are really connected to the radio personalities, people who are on the radio, because they get to see who they really are.
Yeah. Yeah, in general, I think.
Yeah, I think in general I do.
Well, and your radio show was extremely long. So people could listen to you for four hours.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a big part of a day.
Wow.
Gee, that wasn't the sales department that did that to me, by the way. Why don't we make it 7 hours so we can run more commercials?
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah, 4 hours a day.
Oh my God.
Four and a half.
Trying to stay.
And Tom, you said you didn't prep? So you just kind of like would just go on there and just talk about things, or would you kind of?
I'll give you an example of why I don't prep. We had, you know, Mark Pellegrino as the great actor. He's a phenomenal actor. He's American Rust. Season 2's coming out. And I had never interviewed him before.
Uh-huh.
Jeff Daniels is also on the show, and I've talked to
Jeff
several
Daniels.
Times. Oh, he's wonderful. But Mark Pellegrino's a great actor. I mean, he's phenomenal. I didn't do any prep on him or whatever. And we not only talked about all the things, he's in everything. I mean,
really?
The name sounds familiar.
I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, he's terrific. But I started going off on different things, and I asked him a personal question, and he ate it up. I said, you and your father didn't get along, did you? And he said, how'd you know that? And I said, because I can tell by the way you act that you and when you take it out on people on screen, you're really taking it out on your dad.
Listen to you. Wow.
It's true.
Wow.
Well, I went through that same thing myself. He and I talked a little bit about that's why I don't do any show prep, because I didn't know that about him. You know,
so that was the authentic you, right? You're sitting
and
there.
Him.
Yeah.
He was very authentic.
Nice.
Yeah,
so it wasn't like you read about that. You just figured that out by talking to him.
I could tell by talking to him, and I've seen him act. He's a great actor. Anyway, he's really, really good. But the one thing about having that bad childhood for men and women is you end up basically with fear of very little. So you will do things acting on a screen like other people won't do. But you've already been through all that. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's a hell of a good actor. But that's why I don't do any show prep at all. Because I want to just realize, oh, that just occurred in my brain, and let's talk about that. Or in your brain, let's talk about that. I like those interviews much better.
Oh, I get that. Because I think when you have all these questions in your mind or prepared questions or whatever, you kind of tend to, I think, focus on that. Unless you're really listening. Right? Like you're in the interview and you're listening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you an example of where that may have all started. It was many, many years ago, 25 years ago, maybe it was longer than that. We had Jane Fonda in studio at KQRS. She came in and did the show for 4 hours.
How was she?
She was phenomenal. She was wonderful. But during the breaks, go to breaks or whatever. She would come over, and she came over to give me a hug and say, I've never been through this before. This is really fun. And she gave me a big hug. But when you look in her eyes, you can see what Henry Fonda did to her in her eyes. There's no question about it.
Really? Really? Yeah, she
really
had that.
Poor. Yeah. Yep.
Well, she's admitted that too, though, hasn't she?
Yep. She absolutely did. But that's the kind of thing that I love, just off the cuff. You, body language, the look in people's eyes, things like that. I love that stuff because you can. There are tells that are magnificent.
I love that. I love that it's you're great. That in tune, and you know that's great.
Well, I had to be to protect myself from my own father, so that's where that came from.
Thank God for Toots, right?
Yeah, thank God for Toots. You know, that was the other thing, by the way. I'm so glad you brought her up.
She's
because,
great.
Oh, my God, after she met you and Frank, it was like, let me just tell you something. The greatest news people of all time. She thought that was so great that, well, she and Frank's mother got
oh,
along.
Oh, yeah,
really,
she
really
Rosalie
well.
Loved her, too. She, yeah.
That was
yeah.
such a cute relationship.
Wasn't it?
It was.
So sweet. Cute. So sweet. And she introduced Nana. Frank's mom, you know, started volunteering at the hospital
yep.
because of Toots. You know, it was just wonderful, really
fell
wonderful.
Fell down an escalator together. I think
oh my
That's a really nice thing to bring up.
Fell
no
down.
Question about
well,
it.
I mean, it wasn't funny, but it's
no.
kind of funny.
They were together, yeah.
They had each other.
During
they
the ball.
Did, they had
yes.
each other. It all worked. But see, that's the kind of the reason that having everybody in to talk about this, having you in to talk about this, because people don't realize behind the scenes that's the kind of stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
That mom and dad are around. Even if they don't live in town, they come to visit.
Yeah.
They get to know one another. That relationship between the two of them was just beautiful to watch. It was wonderful.
Really, really wonderful. Yeah.
How did he even start? I don't remember how they got connected.
It was at, what's the Italian place that closed on 51st in France? It's now closed, but that's where they met. Was there.
Tabiello?
Oh, geez, that was there.
No. No, Arezzo?
Arezzo?
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Was
that?
It was on the corner there, Arezzo?
Yeah, it just closed.
Yeah.
That was there forever.
Yep. Yeah, and it just closed.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, didn't Tom, you arrange it? I can't remember. Or did they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Well, Frank brought up to me
Frank
that
Brett,
his mom was in town, and she didn't know anybody,
yes.
so she was very lonely
yes.
and all that stuff. I said, well, why don't we have lunch with my mom, and the two of them can, and they became great friends.
They really did.
Wonderful.
So thank you for that. That was a wonderful friendship. She really did love your mother.
Arezzo.
She really did.
Mm-hmm.
Arezzo, yeah. Yeah
Arezzo,
yeah.
there you go. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, those were two difficult times, too, because you guys came to my mother's funeral. Mm. I went to her funeral.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, those were difficult times because it was three generations of the two families, and it was just wonderful.
Yeah.
It was great. So moving on to happier subjects, like back to their friendship or whatever. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing. And again, I don't know. Maybe this is my whole point. Why women make doing the news much better, women and men together. Because I don't know if that would have ever happened if just men kept doing it, that, hey, why don't you bring your mother and Tom will bring his mother. I don't know if that would have happened without a woman being involved. You know?
I think it's really, you are an example of being raised by your wonderful mother, and you said you have two sisters. So you're, and I think Frank is, he has his mother and his sister, who is 10 years older than him. So you guys are sensitive to that fact. I think there's that, you know, which is very giving of you to even think of, you know what, let me bring my mom and introduce her to your mom. So I think that, wait, what was the question? I'm just going off on it.
Well, getting back to it.
What was
the
question?
Until
you lost it.
I just like, no, but I was just thinking, like, you're like men and women. I think that there are some men who have that feminine side, I guess, but it's always good to have the two perspectives of the female and the male, you know? I think it would have to eventually happen, don't you think? Like, bring a woman. I mean, we're.
No question.
Half of the population or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Right. The reason I think I was so sensitive to it is because I was raised by my mother and my two sisters. So women always told me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had very little to do with
them. And now you have Catherine telling you. Yeah.
And now Catherine's telling me what to do on a nonstop basis.
I'm just kidding.
It'll never come to an end. We know that now, but... When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser. No, I just think there... A good way to put that, I think, that the news, because women are involved, is more human now. It's not just rote, I'm going to read the news, this is the news. There's an interaction with women and men together. Rather than two men or two women, the interaction between a man and a woman is great on television. I think it's wonderful.
Well, that's good to hear, you know, and I'm glad you think that. I think it's come a long way, though. I do think that... For the longest time, I'm sure Barbara Walters, I haven't seen her newscast that she did in the mornings. I'm sure she tried to be like, you know what she said? That she was always giving these fluff stories, and she wanted to do the hard news stories.
Right.
So I have to imagine she tried to present herself as being very serious, right?
Yes.
So I think it took a while before, as a woman, that you could try to show a lighter side or that more, I don't want to say feminine side, more caring side. You know, because I think maybe you wouldn't have been taken seriously. You're considered a little soft, you know. So I think we've come a long way having women on the news and women feeling comfortable showing that side.
Yeah, I guess that is probably
because I think for a long time, women, you had to, I felt, now, even when I started, you know, there had been great inroads and there had been, like you said, female co-anchors. That was a standard, mm-hmm. right? The man and the female. Even then, you felt like you had to prove yourself and keep proving yourself that I am worthy of being in this spot or having this job. And it's, I'm not here because I'm female and filling, you know, ticking off a box. Mm-hmm. I'm here because of what I'm bringing to the table.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I am really glad this, I literally have gotten through to pretty much everyone. It's so great that you guys all came in and did the show.
Well, thanks for doing this, Tom. It's really sweet of you.
No, well,
it really is. It's nice to even think that, like that.
I am having one hell of a time getting a hold of Cindy Brucato. What? Where did she go?
I
can't get a hold of her. I love Cindy.
I know. Cindy's great. Cindy's like a hard ass.
And she is.
You know?
Oh, yes,
but she's sweet,
is.
Too, though. She's really nice. You know, she lost her husband.
Yeah.
So, Brian, several years ago. I don't know. I don't even know if she's still living here, to be honest with you. She might be.
I still lived in.
Well, it was interesting because Tom got on Facebook.
Yeah, I was going to say Facebook.
And Cindy Brucato liked his page. So
okay.
That, it was like, oh. And so we tried to, like, track her down through that avenue, and there's just nothing. She's never on social media, so it was interesting that she liked your page, and we can't find anything out about her. It's like she just disappeared.
I'll dig around a little bit. I don't know why I thought she, I think they have a child, right? And I think her daughter, and she has grandchildren. I, for some reason, I was thinking she was down in Florida or California on one of the coasts, you know?
I got to track her down.
She'd be great to talk to, right? Because she went through a lot, too, you know?
She was the original Queen Bee.
Queen Bee Cindy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, she was always a very dear friend. I mean, it was a weird situation because then she went to work at the governor's office.
The governor,
Went to work for the governor, and the first thing she did was invite Catherine and me to come to dinner at the governor's residence. Mm-hmm. It was kind of weird, a morning disc jockey. It's like, oh, you got to come to the governor's residence and hang out. It was like, okay, well, you know.
Well, you know what?
We were like, can we say no?
Can we?
We have armed guards at the door. If we say no, I don't even know what to do here.
But the one thing I have noticed as well, and the other one, Kathy Werzer, I got to get her on too.
Oh, Kathy's great.
I mean, people go, oh my God, Tom Bernard and Kathy Werzer, they must hate one another. It's like, no. Why do you think that? I don't understand. I don't really know Kathy. I've talked to her, but I don't really know her. But she's a hell of a talent too. So those.
No,
are the
she
two.
Is. She.
Well, she's been on the show before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to
so,
get.
Yeah, Kathy's great.
I don't know how I got a hold.
Kathy's
of her.
You should talk to Kathy because she's working actually. I think it's part of NPR. She's for TV. She is doing all the anchors, male anchors.
Oh, she is.
She's doing some sort of documentary on that. I've seen that pop up on her Facebook page. Yes. And
really?
I think she's talked to Don, talked to Paul Majors. I forget who else. I think it's only males. Maybe she is doing some females. But anyway, it's something. It was like the golden age of TV, I think is what it was called. So maybe she was talking to some of the female anchors, too. But, yeah, she's working on that.
Yeah, I just I got to be honest with you, and maybe Andy and Alex and Catherine can jump in here. Every one of the guests so far has been terrific, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, all the anchors. You guys liked all the anchors. There was not one person that came in, a woman that came in and was like, eh. They were, I think it shocked a lot of people that listened to me over the years that all these different TV people are friends of mine and ours. I think a lot of people think that I am grumpy and sit at home.
I was just going to say, they don't realize that you're a lot of you're fun and you've got a very kind heart.
Well, and two things can be true.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
You are grumpy.
Yeah.
Well, you are crabby.
See that honesty coming through from your family.
You are.
They said it, not me.
Yeah. So
unbelievable. You know, it's kind of funny because I just got it back on social media. I'm on Facebook for the first time in 12 years.
Really? Oh, I'm so tired of social media, Tom.
Mm. Oh, God. Yeah. Social media stuff.
I know.
But was weird, and I specifically didn't make the reference, but I saw a guy post something about someone else, not me, but I thought it was hideous and hateful and horrible, and so I kind of posted about it. But I think people assumed they were I was talking about myself, that the guy attacked me.
Oh, like, but you were defending somebody else. You were saying that's just not good behavior. Yeah.
Yeah, it was not me that they attacked. It was someone else.
I think it's best to just delete those kinds of things and not engage.
You know what? You are absolutely right, Catherine, because there's just no winning that argument. There's just no.
There are people that no matter what you post are always going to be upset by it.
100%.
The best thing to do is mute them so they can't see your stuff.
You can't engage.
And it's just like you enjoy that.
Well, there's no civil discourse anymore, you know?
Yeah.
There just isn't, unfortunately.
There's always, and trying to have the last word on a social media fight, no. Mm-mm.
It's crazy, yeah.
People can dedicate their lives to a thread.
I know, right?
Sure can. Really can.
That's true. Now, Amelia, you don't have to comment on this because you're in the business and all the rest of it. But one of the observations that I made, and one of the reasons I did this, getting all of the anchor women on the show that I possibly can, is local news is terrific. National news is hideous. All they do is attack something or someone.
Okay, when you say national news, first of all, I agree with you. I think local news is great, especially in our market. I think we do a really, really good job of community and trying to be, objective and presenting you the facts. I will say, when you say national, I think national, there are certain stations, and I feel like the big three still do a pretty reasonable job of trying to sort of remain objective,
and present to you. Yes, I agree with that.
But the other, we have so much cable and this and that there are certain stations that who are aligned with certain parties and who are going to present their facts in a certain way. And I think people know to go to those stations because they're going to hear what they want to hear, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, some of these people, I hate to say that they're newscasters or reporters because I feel that they're commentators.
Yeah.
They spout their opinion.
Right.
Which you really, I might spout my opinion about the weather, but I'm not going to say anything about the news, right?
Right.
Because you have to remain objective.
That's exactly the reason I asked you that question, because local news would never, and your point's well taken, that the networks on television are not the problem. It's the cable channels that are the problem. There's no question about that. And the two leading ones, of course, CNN and Fox, are almost unwatchable now.
Oh, I know. I know.
It's like, it's so hateful. It's like, why? Man, I don't want to watch this.
When I heard, I'd get put makeup on in the green room, and I would have the TV on, and I'm not going to say what station it was. It was a cable station, and I heard the anchor just going off about stuff, and I thought, oh my gosh, and the whole thing was just his opinion. It was all opinion, and I'm like, I can't listen to this, Present some facts to me. It was just his. I'm like, this is not a reporter or a newscaster. This is a commentator, an opinion piece. So yeah, it's rough.
I'm really, really glad that local news and actually national ABC, NBC, CBS go down the list. They don't do that kind of thing because yeah. I cannot even watch it. I tried. Mm-hmm. I tune in for about 1 or 2 minutes, and then I got to move on. Yeah. It's just too much. Yeah. So I'm glad you guys don't do that. You deliver the news. You deliver the facts.
And we There's say you really... make your decision, right? We try to
yes,
present
right.
both sides. And, you know, listen, and here's another thing. Our audience here in the Twin Cities, and this is research shows, this is, you know, from consultants and everything, that we have one of the most intelligent and community engaged audiences, viewers and listeners, which I think is true because people will, you know, hold you to task or take you to mm-hmm. task if they feel like you haven't reported on something right or you left this out or, you know.
So it just popped up on my watch. A listener right now said that you said something to your husband, Frank, on the news once they thought was hilarious. But I don't know if this is true or not.
What'd I say?
Did you actually turn to him once and say, let me be Frank, Frank? Did you actually say that or are they making it up?
Oh, I don't think I ever said
that. Yeah.
It's like when we run into people and they're like, yeah, the one time that you said blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I don't remember that.
Maybe that happened.
Oh, gosh.
I don't remember what I said yesterday.
I know. Welcome. Yeah. Well, I'm right there with you.
That is true. Amelia, what an honor it is to have you in. Honest to God, we only got about a minute left, but I've yet to have anybody say, no, I don't want to do that. I think I love the idea that news is the best it's ever been. It's because men and women are both involved. There are two different angles to things, or many, many different angles to things, I think makes the local news. And I think maybe I noticed this because of Fox and CNN, that when I watch you guys or I watch the national news on television, the ABCs, NBCs, CBS, all of it, it's much better news because you're not trying to make money by shoving your politics down somebody else's throat. I think it's wonderful.
Well, that's good to hear, Tom. We appreciate that. Definitely. And that's the way news should be, right?
Yes,
there's no question. All right, tell Frank I've never liked him.
I will. He says to say hi to all.
He's a lovely
fuzzies.
Man.
Yeah.
Warm fuzzies. He's such Sweet. A great guy. Did you know from the moment you met him what a great guy he was?
I'm totally honest with you. I'm being very honest here. The first time I met him, I'm like, it's the first time I ever thought I could marry this man. Like, with one meeting, because we talked about our families and we had a lot in common. And, you know, he's easy on the eyes. And he was a kind man. And he was close to his family, you know?
Yep.
His mother and everything. So, yes.
He's a very kind person. He's a wonderful friend. I mean, anytime I ask him, hey, do you mind coming in? He does it every. He's just a wonderful guy. You know what? Don Shelby's right there with him, shoulder to shoulder.
No, you're right.
You get on the list about that. I get to work with the Chris Eggerts of the world and people like that. Jeff
Passel. He's a nice guy too. That Chris.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're very nice people. Well, you guys are nice people, and I just keep doing the news.
Well, you are too. That's why we come on, right? So thank you very much, and we'll have to get together when you guys are maybe in the summer.
Maybe in the summer.
Maybe
that sounds good to me. But Amelia, what an honor to have you in. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. An honor to be here.
Anybody else have any closing words?
Thanks, Amelia. Good to see you.
Catherine, good to see you. Good to see everybody.
It is indeed.
No,
that is going to do it.
I know. That's
right. Now they're all grown up.
They're all grown up with kids of their own.
Yeah. That's all true. That is going to do it. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.